chapter of Paul's epistle to Titus. Titus chapter 2, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works in doctrine, in showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient to their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. May God add His blessing to the reading and to the hearing of His most holy word. All right, so the apostle here instructs young Titus to a particular kind of ministry. The kind of ministry to which Titus is instructed here is a ministry of encouraging every age group, every place and station to do good works according to those places and stations. And you know, it is an interesting thing that that in our day and age, I know we talk about egalitarianism a bit, but there are other distinctions that the Scriptures make other than distinctions in office. There are gender distinctions. And no matter what the world wants to tell you today, there are things that pertain to gender, there are duties that pertain to each gender that are different. Then there are age differences. And there are duties that pertain to particular ages, and that there are also temptations that are that certain ages are more susceptible to. And so the apostle, I think, very candidly, very openly, speaks to Titus about those age groups, those distinctions, and says that a good teacher will warn those who are under his care as a teacher. A good preacher will warn those who are under his care to their special temptations and to live in particular ways according to those special difficulties and advantages that they have. And so that's why the apostle is able to separate old men, old women, young women in this passage. I don't think that's a bad thing at all. I think it's very helpful to us to acknowledge that our gender and our age make us susceptible, more prone, if you will, to certain temptations, and that we ought to be on guard against those. So let's take a look at what the apostle says here. First of all, he couches the entire discourse, "Speak thou the things which become sound doctrine." Isn't that interesting? The things which become sound doctrine, or the things which are fitting for sound doctrine. In other words, like we heard last hour in the first chapter, good works follow good doctrine. If doctrine is sound, the practice that's derived from those doctrines will also be sound. And so we must not put behavior before doctrine, then we become legalists. But we must put foundational truths in place, doctrines, and draw our behaviors from those truths. When someone who is a heretic does good works, we have to understand that they are built upon a faulty foundation. So we must have that right foundation. Speak thou the things which become, which adorn, which are fitting for sound doctrine. All right, so aged men. Aged men, sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and in patience. I don't know who aged men are and what age we make that break. However, sobriety and gravity and temperateness, being sound in faith, in charity, and in patience. So aged women, likewise, they be in behavior as becometh holiness, that they should not be what? False accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. And then there is a particular interaction that the apostle instructs between older women and younger women, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, that they may teach them to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. So let's remember, first of all, from this, let's make a couple of uses. The first use is that there is a particular interaction that should be taking place among us for our good, that we are not islands to ourselves. Even the aged ones are not to be islands to themselves. We are to be a people interactive with one another. We are not to withdraw from one another. And that interaction is, or ought to be, for our good. We ought to know how to do one another good, so that our speech to one another should be that which supports and encourages to duty, that encourages faithfulness. Of course, gossip and slander and evil speaking, all of that is discouragements to good works. So we ought not to be about that. All right, so then to the young men, he turns... Oh, the second thing I wanted to say about that, sorry, is that if we fail to do that, if we fail in our interactions with one another to do the right thing and encourage one another to the right, if instead we cast stumbling blocks before one another, or we fail to those encouragements that we ought to be undertaking, then what happens? The word of God is blasphemed. In other words, if we have this right foundation and we fail to execute in the doing of good works, what happens? If we have all of the right doctrine in place, and yet we never execute into loving one another, we never execute into encouraging one another, we never execute into helping one another, do we really adorn the Word of God at that point? You see, we don't. And that's why the Apostle Paul says that the Word of God be not blasphemed. Now, he's speaking particularly in context of having well-ordered families there. But it's not just that. We can make a wider application than just that point. All right, young men, likewise, exhort to be sober-minded. All right, well, notice back when he was talking to the old men, he was talking about that they also ought to be sober, grave, and temperate. Goes to the young men, he says, exhort them to be sober-minded. So, gentlemen, young or old, looks like sobriety is something that we need to work on at all times, no matter how old we are or how young we are. Sobriety is always in order for us. What is sobriety? It has nothing to do with this, right? We're not talking about that kind of sobriety. We're talking about that we know when it's time to be serious, it's time to be sober, it's time to be grave, that we give important things important attention, that we're not light men, not frivolous. It is indeed a bane upon our gender, isn't it? That on television today, you watch any commercial, who's the fool? The man. Who's the light man? Who's the light person? Who's the light character in the commercial? Who's the guy that's... Who's that? So generally, it's the man these days. It's a bane on our gender because the apostle tells us that whether we're young or whether we're old, we're to be sober-minded. We're to give important things important attention. We're to know when to stop laughing. And so on. All right? So then... He is to adorn His own ministry in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works. In doctrine, uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned. That's a high, high mark that the apostle lays down for those who would ascend to church office. All right, so then he moves on to verse 9, and he is exhorting servants to be obedient to their own masters. It's not submission to say, I'm doing what he says. To your own master, right? In other words, it's understanding that chain. It's understanding where we belong and who we're serving. Purloining is a word that some of you young ones may not know what that means. To purloin means to be a thief. Means to steal. Purloining. It's having... sticky fingers, right? Finding some of your master's stuff among your own stuff. So not purloining, but showing all good fidelity. Fidelity there, understand trustworthiness, right? Trustworthiness. Children, let me ask you a question. When your father or your mother sends you on an errand, do they have confidence that you will return with that errand completed? Or have you given them reason to doubt your ability to complete that task? Good fidelity means that when you're sent on an errand, you come back when it's done. And that's true for all of us. All right? So that we're trustworthy when we're sent on particular duties. And again, that we may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. All right, so then verses 11, 12, and 13 speak about the hope that we have as Christians. And notice that the hope that we have in Christians has an end and it has means. I don't know if that sounds familiar to anybody or not, but it has an end and it has means. The end is what? Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, and the Greek construction there means that Jesus Christ is our great God and Savior. The Greek allows of no other translation there. Jesus Christ. That's the end. What's the means? Denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. So there's an end, and there are means to that end. All right, so then the apostle finishes out the chapter with the work of our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. Once again, notice how the apostle is emphasizing to Titus that he is to emphasize in his ministry good works. And so should all ministers of the gospel. And then the last portion there, speaking about a peculiar people, of course, he's just taking out from the Old Testament that understanding that God has a people that He has called His own, that He has brought to Himself. In the Old Testament, that was limited to a nation, Israel. In the New Testament, it is also called a nation, but it is a nation without borders. It is a nation without walls, a nation really apart from real estate, right? It's that nation that we call the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the people that He has peculiarly designated as His own. Okay, let's stand and call upon the Lord.